Hello. Excuse me. Welcome back to 613. We are up to the final aliyos in Parshas Va'era, the 6th and 7th aliyah. In this aliyah, we have 4 more plagues, a number of more plagues that take place, and I'm not going to go into the plagues themselves, but there is a back and forth between Paro and Moshe that is worth unpacking. We know every time that Moshe goes to Paro, Paro says, "No, no, no, I will not let them go." He refuses. But what's interesting is Moshe's request. Moshe's request is not that the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim forever, that they go free, as perhaps we're taught as children. But rather, what does Moshe say? Let the Jewish people go and spend the 3 days in the desert. That's the entire request. Their entire request is that the Jewish people spend 3 days in the desert, and they then will return. There is no ask for freedom. And the question is, why? Why doesn't Moshe act in a more straightforward fashion? Why doesn't he tell Paro the truth? Why is he lying? Why is he being deceptive? So there's one answer that's given, which we need to explain a little bit. And that is, one answer that's given is the notion that a person is not given a challenge that they cannot handle. Okay, you've probably heard those words before. So let's first apply it over here. And then let's point out perhaps some limitations to that approach. What this means is that Paro has an entire economy that rests upon the slave labor of the Jewish people. Think about the Civil War here in America. What the cause of the Civil War was the fact that you had people who were driving the economy, and to now say that all those people should go free, that was a challenge. Again, it was wrong, let's be very clear, but the reason the South fought back so fiercely was very much due to economic forces as well, ensuring that they would remain, their economy would remain. So going to Paro and saying, "Hey, let the Jewish people go forever," was equivalent to going to the modern day president of the United States and saying, "Unless you allow the entire, Wall Street to crash, otherwise I'm going to bring plagues. I'm going to turn your water into blood." Okay, that's a fair question. I don't know what I would do. Say, cause the entire stock market to crash or cause my water to turn to blood. I might take the blood, right? Because that so much is riding on this. So the idea being that God understood that the challenge of causing the Jewish people to leave forever, that would simply be too much. And therefore, God says, just tell Paro to let them go for 3 days, because that's a challenge he could handle. Okay, so then we have this idea, which is oftentimes shared, that God won't give you a challenge that you can't handle. The problem with this statement is that it's often misused, misunderstood, and misapplied. We don't know what's happening to us. We don't know if every situation in our life is actually a challenge from God. Sometimes it may be something entirely different. So yes, in a scenario where God states this is a challenge, he will only give us a challenge that we can handle. But to go to someone who is, ill and say, "God will only give you a challenge that you can handle," what is that telling them? That's telling them that they are one day going to heal. We hope so, but not every person heals. Going to a person who is going through an incredibly difficult situation and telling them that God won't give you a challenge you can handle, implying that they're somehow going to resolve this issue when not every situation gets resolved, is simply wrong. So while it may be true in particular circumstances, I would so strongly advise against using that terminology, telling that to people as a form of comfort. Maybe we can think it to ourselves and say, maybe this is a challenge from God, and if so, then God certainly has given me the wherewithal to overcome it. But to go to someone to try to comfort them in a situation of difficulty by saying, "Don't worry, you got this, God will not give you a challenge you can handle," putting a certain pressure upon them to, so to speak, handle it, to accomplish it, to get through it, is a little bit off-putting and perhaps theologically wrong as well. Okay, so let's get to an approach that I think is certainly something worth thinking about and focusing on, and that is the approach of the Barbanel. The Barbanel says something wild. The Barbanel says that he was not lying. Moshe was not lying. Really? The Jewish people are going to go for 3 days, and then they're going to return. And then Moshe was going to go to Paro and say, "Paro, now we want to go for a week." And Paro would struggle, okay, but then he let them go for a week. And then after going for a week, he would come back and say, "And now we're going to go for a month." Paro let them go. And the goal was to slowly bring about Paro's new understanding of who the Jewish people are, an appreciation for them, a respect for them, learning how to hold on to his economy without this slave labor. And the idea being that it was meant to be this very slow process. The problem was that Paro rejected it out of hand, and therefore we went to plan B, where he says, "You don't want to let us go for 3 days? Well, forget it, we're not even going for 3 days, we're going forever." And that was what happened. But the initial plan is something worth reflecting on, and that is that when God told Moshe, "I'm going to redeem the Jewish people," we think normally of redemption as being there is galus, there's exile, and there's geula, there's redemption. I think I spoke about this not that long ago, and I apologize for the repetition, but it's such an important idea, especially as we watch seeming setbacks and challenges, especially around the state of Israel and for the Jewish people, it's so critical to remind ourselves, like this Abarbanel is saying, that Geula, redemption, is not binary. It is not Galus and Geula, but rather that it is a multi-stepped, multi-pronged approach. It takes time. It steps forward, steps backwards. Initially, again, plan A was the power was going to let them go for 3 days, and then 7 days, and then a month, and then a year, and who knows how long it would have taken. It was not something that would happen overnight, and similarly, the Geula that we are awaiting is something that it's not just that big shofar blast and all the beautiful messages and that are depicted in the prophets, but rather Geula goes slowly. It takes time. That is true collectively for our people, and it's true for us as well as we grow to recognize that nothing happens with today I am X and tomorrow I am Y. Rather, we take these tiny steps, we move forward, we go from our own inner state of Galus to a state of Geula, to recognize, to have the patience, like God was giving, initially was going to give power the patience to recognize it takes time to see that in the world around us and the developments around us, and to believe that what we're seeing is the slow, slow step forward towards Geula, and in our own personal growth to recognize that there's a process, it takes time, and to pat ourselves on the back, to encourage ourselves, to not give up hope on ourselves, recognizing that it takes time to fully transform. Have a wonderful day, have a wonderful Shabbos, and I look forward to picking up a Parshas Bo next.